Who has a question? Who has a question?
Sure, 师傅请问。
这个是
要知道，在苏联，在俄国，有人被试验过，他们挣的这个境界，他们是看不见的人，是瞎子。可是呢，他们可以用他们的手指摸一摸，他们能分出来颜色的，比方说红的，他们可以分出来白的、黑的这样子。真法师要知道，这个境界是不是因为他们的宿生是修过道，为止就是他们会不会不修道而得到这个六根互用这个境界？昨天晚间师父讲的。
你可以把眼睛不要了，他也去消一消那个。
You can poke your eyes out and check for yourself.
That 不就明白了吗？那就明白了吗？
You get it, don't you? You know one way or the other.
要不然的时候，你现在问问了，你也不知道。
Otherwise, even if you ask, you still won't know.
你只知道这个理论没有用的，你要知道那个实际行动，那才可以。
You'll only get it on the theoretical level, and that won't do. You have to have the actual experience, and then you can consider yourself to have knowledge.
或者他是开五眼了，那么。他能辨别出来这个烟色，这是没有一定的，并不是他这并不是什么六根互用的，六根互用他这个眼睛能不能吃饭呢？耳朵能不能说话呢？
If you open your five eyes, you can probably do it. But this particular state is, you can't say for certain that this is the interpenetration of the six sense organs.Can they eat with their eyes? Or can they talk with their ears?
Well, I thought maybe you could wind it off. No.
真法师说不能。他就想你可以把两个根就互相用，不必把全部互相无碍。
那几个根干什么？
So, which ones do you want to do what? No, I stopped at the end of the day. It's just the past. It's just the past. It's just the past. It's just the past. It's just the past.这个事情，其他的都不知道。
这并不是皮肤，它是有那么一种呢，它虽然没有眼睛了，它也有那么一种的灵感，有那么一种灵感。这谈不到什么六根互用。这不是六根互用，六根互用要就是这么小小的境界，那没有用的。
灵感，
是 feeling。
This is just a simple case of feeling, the ability to distinguish colors through your fingertips. And if it were, it really can't be compared to the interpenetration of the six senses.
Such a small matter like this, which is
embarrassing
this way. 现在才懂了吗？OK， 你这个 脑筋大要总也不休息，脑筋呢总也不休息。You don't can make nice. You make too much nice. This no good. Understand? You find 光明明妙音，慈光开悟诸菩萨。能令三界所有生闻者，皆是如来音。果童要不要讲历圈？今天晚间，
This is about the first patriarch of China, Bodhidharma. When he first came to China, everybody was real scared of him because he had a black face and real big buggy eyes. And whenever the parents of the children saw him in the streets, they saw their children running away from him and they thought, well, he must be trying to kidnap our kids, so we better keep him inside while he walks by. But one day he went to one of the Dharma Master's lectures because the Dharma Master, Xuan Gong, whenever he spoke, flowers fell from the sky and golden lotuses popped up out of the ground. If you could see, if you had your five eyes open, you could see the golden lotus that he was sitting on. And so Bodhidharma went to hear a lecture from him, and sure enough, it started raining flowers out of the sky. Just started falling out of the sky. But Bodhidharma got really rude, and he said, Dharma Master, how can that book up there transform living beings if all it is white pieces of paper with black lines on them? And the Dharma Master didn't know what how it could, and he got mad because he didn't know, and he had these Bodhi beads, but his Bodhi beads were special because they were made out of iron. Because whenever somebody got his temper riled up, he'd take them and whack them across somebody's face or hit them over the head with his iron Bodhi beads. So he got really mad at Bodhidharma, and he whacked him with his beads, and Bodhidharma's two front teeth fell out. And Bodhidharma knew if he spit them out and let them fall on the ground that his sage's teeth would, if somebody like hit him or made him so his teeth would fall out, if his teeth hit the ground, they'd cause a drought for 3 years in a 100-mile radius, and people would die and nobody could get water and everything if the sage's teeth fell on the ground and hit it. So he was very patient with the Dharma Master. He just swallowed his teeth and he walked away, and the Dharma Master thought, aha, I beat him and he won't ask that question anymore. And well, when Bodhidharma was walking along the road, he met a parrot in a cage. And the parrot asked him, he said, mind from the west, mind from the west. How should I get out of this cage? And Bodhidharma said, how to get out of this cage, just jut out your feet, shut your eyes, and lay back. So the little bird jutted out his feet out of the cage and laid back with his eyes shut. And his master, every day he would come and he'd go straight to the bird and he'd talk to the bird and he'd play with the bird because he loved the bird. He wouldn't even bother the Buddhas. He'd just go right in and talk to his bird and play with it. But that day he came running into his, see his bird, and there was his bird with his feet sticking out of the cage and his eyes shut and laying back. And he thought, oh dear, my birdie's dead. So he opened the cage and he took the bird and he looked at it and he couldn't understand why it was still warm. Because when a bird dies or somebody dies, they get cold, but the bird was still warm. So he slowly opened his hand, and when he got his hand just enough open so the bird could go away, the bird was gone. And he was sad because his birdie had gone away. But then that night the Dharma Master had this dream that a ghost from King Yama came and said, it's time for you to die. You must come down and see King Yama. And he said, but I thought I shouldn't have to die because whenever I speak the Dharma, the maidens of heaven throw down flowers and the golden lotuses puff out of the ground. And he goes, well, you'll have to see King Yama. The ghost said that. You'll have to see King Yama about that. And he said, well, isn't there anybody who can live without, who can be immortal in the world right now? And the ghost said, there's only one person. And he goes, who is it? Who is it? I want to study with him. And the ghost said, it's that black-faced sage that you knocked the two front teeth out of yesterday. And the guy was so startled that he said to the ghost, now you go back and tell King Yama that I want a couple more years to live so that I can learn to be immortal. So then he knew the Bodhidharma was going someplace. So he ran and ran and ran after Bodhidharma. And on the way he met the bird. And the guy asked, bird, did you see Bodhidharma? And the bird goes, yes. And he goes, did he tell you the Dharma? And the bird goes, yes. And he told the guy, the Dharma Master, that all he had to do was stick out his feet and shut his eyes and lay back, that then he would be out of the cage. And the Dharma Master understood he should be a living dead man. And that's what it's called when you're in meditation. You're called a living dead man because you're sitting there really still. You're still alive, but people could think you were dead because you're just sitting there so still. But he still went running after Bodhidharma because he wanted to learn more. So he went running and running and running. He finally caught up to Bodhidharma, and Bodhidharma just kept walking, and he wouldn't pay any attention to him. And then he got to this wall, and he just sat down in meditation and faced the wall. And the guy knelt beside him, the Dharma Master, knelt beside Bodhidharma and requested the Dharma. And Bodhidharma just sat there. And after 9 years, the Dharma Master was still kneeling there, and Bodhidharma was still facing the wall. But whenever Bodhidharma had gotten up to eat, the Dharma Master had gone up to eat too. And then whenever he sat down in meditation, the Dharma Master would sit beside Bodhidharma. And so in the 9th year, the Dharma Master was still kneeling there, and Bodhidharma knew that it was snowing because it was snow and it was cold, and the Dharma Master knew it because the snow was up to his waist when he was kneeling. But he still knelt there, and Bodhidharma turned to him and said, why are you still kneeling there when the snow's so deep? And the Dharma Master said, because I want the Dharma. And Bodhidharma goes, well then, if you want the Dharma so bad, then you go out, and if you can find me some red snow, then I'll teach you the Dharma. So the Dharma Master went out, didn't see any red snow, all he saw was white. But he took out his precept knife. Precept knife is when Dharma masters, they'd rather cut off their head than break a precept. And if they break a precept, they take out their precept knife and cut off their head. But what he did, he took out his precept knife and he cut off his arm. And blood spurted all around and made the snow red. And he picked up some snow and then walked over to Bodhidharma and said, "Here, here's red snow." And Bodhidharma was glad because he didn't think he'd be so sincere to cut off his arm or something like that to make the snow red. And then he told him the Dharma, and the Dharma master started thinking about his pain. And he said to Bodhidharma, "Bodhidharma, will you quiet my mind is in pain, will you quiet it?" And Bodhidharma goes, find your mind and I'll quiet it for you." And the Dharma master looked all over and he couldn't find his mind. And he said to Bodhidharma, "I don't know where it is." And Bodhidharma goes, "Well, that's how well I've quieted it for you." And that's the way the Dharma master got enlightened, because he understood that.
又放光明明妙音慈光开悟诸菩萨能令三界所有声闻者皆是如来音十方诸佛和一切的菩萨又放出一种大光明。这个大光明啊的名字就叫妙音三昧光明。这个音声啊是不可思议，所有世间一切的音声都变成了佛的音声。孟婆有这么两句话，他说的也是这个意思。他说山色无非广长舌，说这个山上啊，这个一切的啥呀，这都是佛的广长舌相，七声尽是清净音。这个流水这个声音，七声就是流水这个声音，都是啊如来的清净的妙音。这种啊妙音，他能啊开悟诸菩萨，所以说慈光开悟诸菩萨，所有一切初发心的菩萨闻见这种光明，听见看见这种的光明，他就都能啊增长他的菩提心，得这个无碍的辩才，能令三界所有生。这种光明啊，能使令这个三界所有的一切声音，闻者皆是如来音，所有的众生见着这种光明，然后闻见这个声音，都是如来的妙音，不可思议的这种微妙的音声。以大音声称赞佛，祭司灵夺诸音药，普使世间闻佛音， 是故得成此光明。这是啊，这个佛菩萨在因地修行啊，六度万行的时候，常常以这个最大的这个音声来称赞呢十方诸佛，来呀赞佛赞法赞僧，即是灵夺诸因要啊，和这个思灵啊，就在佛前呢摇这个铃，俺们念弥陀经不摇这个铃啊，那个铎啊，那个铃也就是那个铎，铎也就是那个铃。诸音要做出种种的音要来赞叹呢、啊、三宝。所以啊俺们有人呢、啊、说啊，对着佛唱歌，这有什么意思呢？这不是唱歌，这就是啊来赞叹佛，用种种的音声来啊赞叹佛称赞佛。所以说诸音要好像奏种种的音要来啊赞佛赞法赞僧。普使世间闻佛音，普遍呢令世间所有的一切众生他们都要听见这个佛的音声。因为放这种光明啊，这个妙音三昧啊，令所有的声音都变成佛的声音，是故得成此光明。因为啊因地修这种种的横门的缘故，所以就得到啊成就这种妙音三昧的光明。
不舍一切放逸行，具足休息诸功德，多有微法非安稳，无量苦恼系成边，成罗成阳寂灭乐，是故得成此光明。那个佛菩萨就放出一种大光明，这种光明的名字就叫斯甘露三昧光明。这种光明能除人的饥渴，除人的烦恼，除人的除众生一切的黑暗，令众生啊开智慧，精进不懈怠。所以说此光开悟一切众生，这种啊佛菩萨的光明，它能令一切众生的觉悟，觉悟一切一切都是虚妄无常的，是苦的。所以说令舍一切放逸行，这个放逸就是不守规矩，令这一切众生啊舍离了，离开这一切不守规矩的行为，就要守规矩啊，就是不要放逸，舍离一切的放逸行，就是叫人不要放逸，不要不守规矩，一定要守规矩，一定要依教奉行。你不要自己呀、啊、顺着自己那种啊 贪嗔痴去去做去。具足休息诸功德，你不放逸就会精进，精进就会具足休息一切的诸功德。你要净懒惰啊，什么功德也不会成就的。所以要啊，时时刻刻的常精进，不休息啊。所以修道上一定要争先恐后，要向前走，不要向后转。啊，修了两天半，啊，觉得没有什么成就，啊，就向后退了，这是没有用的，这是不会有所成就的。说有为法，非安稳。说呀，就是言说，言说一切有为法，有为法。就是有形象的啊，有形象的这个法啊，非安稳，这不是啊永久不坏的。好像你富贵啊功名啊，这一切一切的都是啊暂时的，也都是啊镜中的花，水中的月，不是真实的。你不要被这个虚妄的富贵啊所摇动了，应该呀认识这一切一切都是啊苦空无常无我的。无量苦恼系通变，这所有的有为法都是啊有很多的苦的啊，每一个果有他的苦恼，每一个家也有他的苦恼，每一个人也有他的苦恼啊。你呀 啊小而个人，大而国家世界，你看一看啊，哪一个人没有苦恼？没有哪一个人呢真正是快乐的啊。做总统啊，是很地位很高了，但是被人逼迫的没有总统做了，也要哭也要哭着离开那个总统的那个房子，你一看苦不苦？无量苦恼系充遍的哪个谁都有苦。做总统既然有苦，那么做其余的小过总统的更有苦恼了。今天又怕这个啊告贪污，明天又怕那个来找什么毛病，这都是有很多的苦。做官有做官的苦，做生意有做生意的苦，读书的人有读书的苦啊，挣钱的人有挣钱的苦，做工的人做工人的苦小孩子有小孩子苦，大人有大人苦。你一说哪个地方没有苦啊？小孩他要没苦，没有苦为什么他要哭啊？他那哭就是觉得不满足了，觉得不随顺自己这个意思了，就要发脾气啊，发脾气就哭起来了。你看看这个小孩子也有苦，大人也有苦，究竟都是虚妄的。恒乐称扬寂灭乐，常常的欢喜称扬赞叹呢，这个寂灭法，寂灭之乐，寂灭乐也就是禅定的乐啊。是故得生死方，因为这个所以就成就这种思甘露三昧的光明啊。常常以甘露普赐于一切众生，令一切众生的觉悟发菩提心。有的人说这个华严经讲菩萨放这个光放那个光，放这种三昧光明， 怎么我什么光明都没有看见呢？
没有看见佛的光明，菩萨的光明。佛教是尽虚空遍法界的，是法界的宗教。所有的宗教都包括在佛教里头，所有人都包括在佛的光明里头，所有的众生都在佛的光明里头。不过你在佛的光明里头，你自己见不着，不觉得有佛的光明来照你。这就好像啊，这个一出生的人呢就没有眼睛，他也不知道什么是个光明，什么是个黑暗啊，青黄赤白黑他分别不出来。说是昨天晚间呢是今或者今天是什么时候，这个国随问说是啊，俄国有的人呢没有眼睛，一摸这个东西啊就知道是什么颜色。那么他摸这个东西知道是什么烟色，他知不知道是什么味道啊？那么就普通的这个字，不是那个没有眼睛人所用的那种书的本字，这个平的这个字，他摸一摸会不会摸出来这个字啊？那么这个表啊，他这个用手摸一摸是不是知道就几点钟了啊？这个不是单单知道这个烟色，这作为就是定论了，要所有的东西都能分别出来那才算的。俺们没有见着佛的光明，就因为啊俺们好像没有眼睛的人所知道的太少了啊。就是知道这个烟色也是一知半解的，不是啊不会完全知道，并且他或者是啊在中间没有眼睛的。如果他生来就没有眼睛，根本他也就不知道什么青黄赤白黑这个颜色啊。那么既然不知道，他怎么又会摸得出来？所以这个值得大家来研究的啊。俺们没有见着佛的光明，也就等于这个没有眼睛的人啊，知道的东西也知道的那么一点点，不是完全知道。那么在佛教啊是一个法界的教，所以啊一切的宗教都在佛教里头来包括着。佛教绝对不会说某一个宗教是在佛教外边的啊，都是在佛教里边的，没有跑到佛教外边去，所以它叫法界的宗教。那么我呢弘扬这个法界的宗教啊，所以我以法界为这个为我的梵位。谁要能跑到法界外边去，那就是啊没有在这个佛法之中。你要跑不出去法界外边去，都是在这个佛教里头包容着。
Later talking, OK.
是一是果同，果同 like a sheet 果同，小孩子，他是管小孩子的。
This is a
nice sheet.
You might make any noise, but belted by this one. This is a very good sheet. Very
good. 你告诉他。他四岁的时候到这儿来，他看见什么可以对大家讲一讲。
What I saw was I saw Shifu, and he looked like the Buddhist back here with his hair like that and shells. And now I've got a story.For anybody in here who eats meat. One time in a life when Shakyamuni Buddha was going to become Shakyamuni Buddha, he was a deer. And he was a deer king. And there was another deer king named Devana. And they were rivals in a lot of lives. In this life, in the story that I'm going to tell, they aren't really that much of rivals. But there was this king who loved venison. So he sent his hunters out, and they'd kill 6 or 7 deer, and then they'd bring him back some venison to eat. But the king couldn't even eat 1 deer, so all the other deer went to waste.And the deer kings didn't like that, because if he came and killed 6 or 7 deer a day, there was only 1 or 2 born a day. And so the 2 deer kings set up a plan. And Shakyamuni Buddha went over to Devana's palace and told him what they made up a plan. And the plan was that they would each send a deer.Every other day they'd send a deer, like Shakyamuni Buddha would send it one day and then Devana would send it the next. And they'd have draws which deer would go. So then they thought it was a good plan, and since the king couldn't eat even 1 deer, there would be just a little bit left over of the deer. So they went to the palace and they asked the gate guard if they could see the king, but they were deer. They were in the form of deer, and the gate guard was really surprised. He just sort of mumbled to himself, deer can talk, right? And he went up to the king and asked him if he wanted to see 2 talking deer. And so the king said, yes, if they're talking deer, then I think we'd better see them. So,The deer trotted in, and they told the king the plan. And the king agreed, and the plan worked out all right. And one day, one of Devana's deer was going to have a fawn. And the mother deer didn't want to be killed.But she had just been drawn. She didn't want to be killed because it would be just like killing 2 deer. So she went to Devana and asked if he could get someone else, and then she would be happy to go in 1 or 2 days when the baby was born. And Devana said, real grouchily, no, who would want to take your place? They all want to live, right? And then she decided, well, I'll go to Shakyamuni Buddha.So she went to him, to Shakyamuni Buddha, and he said very quietly and compassionate that I don't think anybody would want to go and things, but since you are going to have a fawn, I'll go. So she was really happy because she wouldn't have to go until her fawn was born and be killed by the king.So Shakyamuni Buddha went, and he went to the gate where the deer came in, and the guards took him to the king, and the king said, what are you doing here? Is the plan working out okay? Is your herd extinct? Is that why you're coming and giving your life? And Shakyamuni Buddha told him about the mother, and the king said, I understand now. I've been doing things wrong. And he said that you're a deer with a man's head, and because Shakyamuni Buddha was a compassionate, and he said that he was a man with a deer's head because he ate venison. And then he told Shakyamuni Buddha that he'd never eat meat again.
Hmm? What? Venison?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Keep quiet! I have late. You fang guang ming ming zui sheng, si guang kai wu yi qie zhong. Ling yu fu shu pu ting wen, jie ding zhi hui zeng shang fa. 成了称扬一切佛圣界圣定殊胜辉入世微求无上道是故得成此光明 十方诸佛和一切菩萨 他们共同分工合作，那么记忆中他们的光明在一起，所以又放出一种大光明。这种大光明有一个名称，它的名称啊就叫最胜三昧光明。 最胜的定，最殊胜的，和一般普通的光明不一样。东北可能还是，此光开悟一切众。啊，笑什么？真打呀！
What are you laughing about? You're going to get hit. And if you hit them, boys, it only counts if they start crying.
此光开悟一切众，这种光明啊，能开悟一切众生，令愚痴的众生啊就有智慧了，令有贪心的众生。 就啊，生出一种布施想，令有这个嗔心的众生，就有一种慈悲心，啊，所以这种光明，也就是啊，来变化众生的思想，令众生贪而不贪，嗔而不嗔，痴而不痴，一切都是啊，返迷归脚，啊。 舍行善，这个光明就有这么大的功用，有这个功用，有这种力量，令于佛所普听闻呐，令这个一切众生，都啊发菩提心，在这个佛的道场里边听闻呐一切的佛法。 戒定智慧增上法，那么修习这个戒小，修习定小，修习这个智慧，这个戒定慧三无漏小，修习这种的这个佛法啊增上法，这种的法都能增加你的善根，增加你的智慧。 增加你的定力，增加你的概力，常乐称扬一切佛。这个 令一切众生都啊发菩提心，愿意啊常常呢欢喜称扬赞叹十方一切诸佛。圣戒圣定圣殊胜慧，修习这个圣戒殊胜的戒啊。戒什么叫戒？戒就是止恶防非啊，诸恶不作，众善奉行。什么叫定？定就不被这一切的外物所摇动啊，你能以认识本有的自性，有真正的定力，如如不动，了了成名啊，殊胜的智慧。你有殊胜的智慧，才能不被这个一切的颠倒所迷，才能真正用你的智慧去处理一切的事情啊。那时候就是啊，静坐这个明白事，不做这个糊涂事，不做这个无明，没有无明，也没有烦恼，也没有一切的这个习气毛病啊。入世为求无上道啊，像这样子，那么为求无上菩提大道啊，因为这个，所以呀、成就这种的这种的这个最胜三昧的光明。
又放光明明宝眼，此光能教一切众，令得宝藏无穷尽，以此供养诸如来，以诸种种上妙宝供奉祀于佛及佛塔，以以会思诸贫乏，是故得成此光明。这一段偈文呢，是说人呢要在前生有修行，你今生就会一切一切都圆满。所谓今生富贵是何因？前生灾僧济贫人。今生贫贱是何因？前生不肯济贫人。今生端正容貌好，香花点灯供佛前啊。也就是我给这个果童讲那几句寄送啊，今生不笼鸟，来生不作奸，今生不钓鱼，来生不讨饭啊。有的人说了，哦，那我现在才明白了，这个出家人呢，原来前生都是钓鱼的，所以呀、他拖着钵各处去要饭去。这不是的，这个比丘啊，其实是为的给众生众福，并不是因为没有饭吃他去乞食，所以这有不同的。这个我说的是讨饭，就因为那个他没有饭吃，所以要和大家来要去讨饭吃。今生不杀生，来生就无灾难今生不偷盗，来生就无抢案今生不邪淫，来生就不婚变不会离婚今生不妄语，来生无欺骗，没有人欺骗你。为什么有人欺骗你？在前生你已经答妄语来着。今生不饮酒，来生不狂滥。你今生要不喝醉，净喝醉酒，来生就不会发狂的
啊，说那么美国这现在很多人发狂的，是不是先生都喝醉酒来着？差不多啊，多数是这样子，少数不是这样子。那么所以这个人富贵呀、啊、都是前因后果的，不过人看不清楚，一到富贵的时候就迷了啊。所谓贫穷不是难，穷的人你叫他不是啊是很难的，富贵小道难，富贵的人呢你叫他修行啊那是不容易的啊。那么这个佛菩萨看见人这么艰难，这么样舍不得，所以啊就放出种种光明，令人呢明白，又放光明明宝言，又放出一种光明啊，叫宝言三昧光明，此光能搅一切众，这个光明啊能搅悟一切愚迷的众生，令他搅悟，令得宝藏无穷尽，令这个众生啊得到宝藏啊，就是在地里啊开矿，一开就发财啊，回着开呀、啊、开这个煤矿就得个金矿，开个金矿就得个钻石矿啊，越开越多，这个宝藏无穷尽那么多。可是无穷尽无穷尽呢，你也不要啊来指着这个无穷尽啊就为这个钱财迷了。我现在啊给你们各位讲一个很浅的这个公案。什么呢？以前有一个很有钱的人，姓药啊，姓药，什么他都要啊，他但是不要屎不要尿啊，这个他因为嫌乎邋遢，他要什么呢？要钻石，要金子，要银子啊，要这个种种值钱的东西。所以啊那么他生来就很有钱，结婚之后啊那个钱更多了，所以他就生了四个儿子。这四个儿子，大儿子叫什么名字呢？他一想，我一生我最欢喜的就是钻石，哎好了，就叫这个大儿子就叫要钻石啊，姓要嘛，什么都要，要钻石。这个第二个儿子又生出，哎这个给起个什么名字呢？哎他一生啊好钻石，其次就是黄金。他说好了，这个第二个儿子就是要黄金啊，就叫黄金。那么第三个儿子又来了，他该起个什么名字呢？哎也白银也不错的，那么就给第三个儿子起名字叫白银啊，要钻石，要黄金，要白银。那么第四个儿子来了，他说这回呀、啊、叫什么名字呢？哎、啊、这回呀、啊、叫个业障了、啊、叫个业障啊，也要业障。那么这三个儿子都长得大了，都是大学毕业，也有都得到博士学位呀、啊、master 这些个都得到了，得到了啊，他有一天就病了，病了这回呀、啊，啊，就要死了，啊，就要死了。那么他一想，死了到死了的时候很寂寞的，威里隆里，啊，找一个帕呢，就叫这个大儿子说：“哎，钻石，我现在要死了，你好不好跟着爸爸去死啊？”这个钻石被眼睛一睁，哎，你是不是发狂了？那么这个说，我这个正在年轻的时候怎么能可以跟着你死去呢？你现在要死那是 your business 啊，与我有什么关系呢？啊，那么这个他这个钻石不跟着去了。那么他又和他第二个儿子商量说，哎，黄金，你对我很好，我也最爱你，
你现在我死了，你好不好陪着我去死去啊？这个二儿子黄金也把眼睛一瞪，说啊，你这个老糊涂东西，我这个年纪轻人怎么可以跟着你老人这么大年纪的人死呢？这你简直的是太混账了啊！把他骂了一顿，骂了一顿也没有办法了，再和第三个儿子商量商量。那么说，喂，我你是第三个，我供你读书啊，都特别好啊，现在你比他们读书读的都多，你已经得到这个经济的博士了，你经济条很好，你跟着我到去死，给我做一个 secretary 怎么样啊？这个白银说啊，你愿意死你就快点死了，你不要来拖着我，我这个经济小还没有用呢，我正想要发财呢，你想叫我和你死，这你真是做梦啊！也被这个金子银子钻石每一个人都骂了一顿啊。这个老年人一想，这个三个大儿子他不跟着去，这找第四个小儿子了，说哎，孽障你怎么样啊？现在我和你三个哥哥的商量，我想叫他们陪着我去死，他们都不肯不愿意，说都没活够呢，你怎么样啊？这个第四个这个儿子这个小孽障鬼就说，好啊，我可以跟着你去，跟着你去死去啊。金子也带不去，银子也带不去，钻石更拿不去，两手空空啊，就有一个孽障跟着后边，要跟着去死。所以这就说的啊，这个万般讲不去，只有业随身。你有万贯的家财，钱再多，标印标印 ，dollars 啊，你等死的时候啊。啊，儿子也不肯跟着去啊，金子银子钻石都不肯跟着去，只有一个孽障。这个孽障啊，你做善业就有善的业障，你做恶业就有恶的业障，这个业障是跟着自己去的。这个就是说，你做善事啊，那个善事也跟着你去，做恶事啊，那个恶的业障也跟着你去。所以啊，俺们人呢，在这个世界上一切一切都是入幻入化，入梦幻泡影呢，不要太认真了，认真了就是糊涂多一点，你要不认真呢就明白多一点，就是在这块以此供养诸汝来呀。你要这个无穷尽这个宝藏做什么呢？用它来供养诸佛啊，一诸种种上妙宝，用种种的上妙的宝香来供养于佛，奉祀于佛及佛塔，或者供佛呀，或者供养佛塔，以惠施诸贫乏，又用它来呀，帮助一切的穷人，一切没有钱的人，是故得称此光明。因为这个，所以呀，就得到这种的，这个宝眼三昧的光明。那么，我今天呢，看见你们这么多人来，我很高兴的，啊，所以呀，我告诉你们一个不好的消息。什么不好的消息呢？啊，这个好不好是这一切唯心造，在你心里想。那么所谓不好啊，这个事情啊是大家都很辛苦的。那么要好呢，这是啊将来给众生众福。什么事情呢？就是啊金山寺现在啊改修啊，要将近呢完工了。金山寺改修完工啊，俺们这个佛教的工程还没有完。啊，预准备啊，在这儿修完了的时候啊，到西雅图去造一个宝塔。这个宝塔呢、啊，咱们造在这个庙的里边，啊， 那么这个将来呀造好了是恐怕世界上没有这样的庙，俺们也没有这样的这个佛塔，俺们造好了，大家都到那个佛塔顶上啊，那可以看到整个全世界，全世界这个人都在那儿做戏呢，你们愿意看戏的人可以看一看全世界这个戏，这一个大戏台，他们这个戏呀、啊、做的是什么样子，都可以看得见的，这是啊。将来呀、啊、就会发现的这个消息，我告诉你们，你们回去要睡不着觉啊，就打妄想啊，先到那个塔顶上去看看去，顶上去看看去，看看去，什么关系呢啊。那么这个他这个钻石不跟着去了，那么他又和他第二个儿子商量说，哎，黄金，你对我很好，我也最爱你，你现在我死了，你好不好陪着我去死去啊。这个二儿子黄金也把眼睛一瞪说，啊，你这个老糊涂东西，我这个年纪轻人怎么可以跟着你老人这么大年纪的人死呢？这你简直的是太混账了啊。把他骂了一顿也没有办法了，再和第三个儿子商量商量。那么说，喂，我你是第三个，我供你读书啊，都特别好啊，现在你比他们读书读的都多，你已经得到这个经济的博士了，你经济条很好，你跟着我到去死，给我做一个 secretary 怎么样啊。这个白银说，啊，你愿意死你就快点死了，你不要来拖着我，我这个经济小还没有用呢，我正想要发财呢，你想叫我和你死，这你真是做梦啊。也被这个金子银子钻石每一个人都骂了一顿啊。这个老年人一想，这三个大儿子他不跟着去，这找第四个小儿子了，说，哎，孽障，你怎么样啊？现在我和你三个哥哥的商量，我想叫他们陪着我去死，他们都不肯，不愿意，说都没活够呢。你怎么样啊？这个第四个这个儿子，这个小孽障鬼就说：“好啊，我可以跟着你去，跟着你去死去。”啊，金子也带不去，银子也带不去，钻石更拿不去，两手空空啊，就有一个孽障跟着后边，要跟着去死。所以这就说的啊，这个万般讲不去，只有业随身。你有万贯的家财，钱再多，标应标应到了死啊，你等死的时候啊，儿子也不肯跟着去啊，金子银子钻石都不肯跟着去，只有一个孽障。这个孽障啊，你做善业就有善的业障，你做恶业就有恶的业障，这个业障是跟着自己去的。这个就是说，你做善事啊，那个善事也跟着你去，做恶事啊，那个恶的业障也跟着你去。所以啊，俺们人呢，在这个世界上，一切都是入幻入化，入梦幻泡影呢，不要太认真了，认真了就是糊涂多一点，你要不认真呢就明白多一点，就是在这块以此供养诸如来呀。你要这个无穷尽这个宝藏做什么呢？用它来供养诸佛啊，一诸种种上妙宝，用种种的上妙的宝香来供养于佛，奉祀于佛及佛塔，或者供佛呀，或者供养佛塔， 以以会思诸贫乏，又用它来呀、帮助一切的穷人，一切没有钱的人，是故得称此光明。因为这个，所以呀、就得到这种的这个宝眼三昧的光明。那么我今天呢看见你们这么多人来，我很高兴的啊，所以呀、我告诉你们一个不好的消息。什么不好的消息呢？啊，这个好不好是这一切唯心造，在你心里想。那么所谓不好啊，这个事情啊是大家都很辛苦的。那么要好呢，这是啊将来给众生众福。什么事情呢？就是啊金山寺现在啊改修啊，要将近呢完工了。金山寺改修完工啊，俺们这个佛教的工程还没有完啊，预准备啊在这儿修完了的时候啊，到西雅图去造一个宝塔。这个宝塔呢、俺们造在这个庙的里边啊。那么这个将来呀、造好了是恐怕世界上没有这样的庙，俺们也没有这样的这个佛塔。俺们造好了，大家都到那个佛塔顶上啊，那可以看到整个全世界，全世界这个人都在那儿做戏呢，你们愿意看戏的人可以看一看全世界这个戏，这一个大戏台，他们这个戏呀、做的是什么样子，都可以看得见的。这是啊，将来呀、就会发现的。这个消息我告诉你们，你们回去要睡不着觉啊。就打妄想啊，先到那个塔顶上去看看。